Hi, and welcome to Women CEO in Reflection, a podcast dedicated to personal growth and mental health discussions with women CEOs across the globe. It's here where inspired women get candid about what drives them to succeed and the personal challenges they've encountered on their path to success. So if you're a woman on a mission, this is the podcast you don't want to miss. So sit back, relax, and let's get candid. Hi, my name is Marisa Jones, and I'm joined by my co-host, Neil Haley. Welcome to the Women CEO in Reflection podcast. Today's guest is Nahami Tenenbaum, and she's the founder and CEO of Carmela Cosmetics, a high-performance, long-lasting silk matte cosmetics brand, flattering for all skin tones and dedicated to supporting women's healing and empowerment. Her other passion is as a breakthrough business and marketing consultant and beauty advisor for both friends and followers alike. Her podcast, We Are Women, is a show where women speak their truth and celebrate their victories. Nahami has been featured on Fox, NBC, Thrive Global, The Ed Kalagi Show, and much more. Welcome to the show, Nahami.
Thank you so much for having me, Marisa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. This is really exciting. You do a lot of different things, but mostly, you know, your business is cosmetics, and that's a really difficult business to break into. So tell us a little bit about your journey on how you why you decided to join or create this business, and you know, what's the driving point, and tell us a little bit about what it does.
Sure, for sure. Yes. So it's funny because my original plan was to become a psychologist, nothing to do with business. And I realized once I graduated with my undergrad in psychology that that really wasn't something that I wanted to do all day, you know, sit and listen to people's problems. And I kind of had a break a year where I wasn't sure what to do. So during that time, I went to makeup school. And I learned about all the makeup that was out of the market and how to use it, et cetera. And I realized that there was a real need for high performance natural cosmetics in the market. So I did a lot of research, and then I actually ended up going to business school, got my MBA in marketing. And then about a year after that, I completed my MBA, I launched my cosmetics brand. And the truth is that it was really an evolvement. In regards to our brand story, it wasn't like I launched and then our brand story was finished. It was a journey that I learned a lot about myself, and I learned what I love to do and my superpowers, I guess you could say, right? And which is really what I help my clients with. But what I ended up doing was I created this brand that was about including all women, uniting all women, regardless of race, age, ethnicity, religion, et cetera. And that's why we give back 10% of profits to different charity organizations focused on women's healing and empowerment. So that includes eating disorders, breast cancer, hair loss, endometriosis. And that's kind of like the summary of how I got into it.
I love that. So it's a little bit of psychology behind that, right? Because you're focused on some mental health organizations that you work with. Do you actually partner with them in a way where they provide feedback, or do you donate some of your products to them? How do you engage with those organizations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for starters, each of our color collections is assigned to a specific nonprofit. So our reds are assigned to NIDA, the National Eating Disorders Association, pinks to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, of course, pinks, you know, it has to be the breast cancer, and then the purples and mauves to the Endometriosis Foundation of America, and the nudes to the Rapunzel Project, which is focused on helping women keep their hair when they're going through chemo treatments. So that was our initial partnering point. And then we also talk about what these organizations do and just offer support and resources to women who follow us through our social media accounts, through our podcasts. And, you know, that's pretty much how we offer that support. And then, yeah, of course, I'm in touch with the organizations, and some of them more than others, and they'll offer me material and resources to share as well. And we also donate product. We've donated about $20,000 of lipsticks to the Endo Foundation, and then also close to that, to the National Breast Cancer Foundation.
This is really interesting. I think that businesses now, especially when it's a product, has to have a tie charitably to something where the charity or some sort of mission for ultimately people to be fans of your product and to tell others. It's to have that mission based part of it, that something that your organization does that is tied to a serious issue or problem and or solution is very important, because if you don't have those things in place, people that choose to be really product, be a fan of a product, really has to see that there's a cause involved. Is that really what you were thinking when you did all this, that an important part of this product, your products, is to have a mission involved in it?
Absolutely. Yes. That was huge. It was for, you know, of course, marketing plays a huge role in that. However, it has to resonate with you, right? So I chose something that really resonated with me. I wanted a brand that was deeper than surface level. I didn't want it to just be about selling makeup. I wanted it to have a mission, a purpose, to feel, because we all need to feel like we're doing something for society, you know, and that was my part.
I find more and more women that I've been interviewing on this podcast that many of us, right, because I do something similar, we actually do donate a lot of our time and resources to causes that are really, you know, kind of near and dear to maybe some of the troubles and traumas that we've been through. So let me ask you, you know, breaking into cosmetics, that's a dominated industry, right? Like there is some powerhouses, you know, for cosmetics, that is really hard to compete. What were some of the challenges that you've had to go through, and some of your own personal growth that you've had to achieve in order to be successful in this industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a few different things that come to mind. So the first one is, you know, I'm trying to think about how to phrase this. when I launched, you know, I don't think we ever know fully what we're getting ourselves into until we're in it. You know what I mean? So it was kind of that sort of situation. And I realized in the beginning that something had to change. And everyone was telling me, you know, you have to put yourself out there more. You have to post yourself and be the face of your brand. And I was like, heck no. Like my whole idea was to post other people wearing my stuff and et cetera, right? I felt really uncomfortable. I really did. I felt very uncomfortable. Even posting myself, I would literally feel my heart pounding. Like I would have actual anxiety before I posted a video of myself and my stories. And I started off with like 15,000 followers because I'd been building a beauty account, not posting myself, just beauty stuff for a couple of years. So I already came with an audience. You know what I mean? Now we're you know, at over 30,000, but then we were, or it could have been 12, whatever it was, you know, it was a lot. So I kept thinking of all the thousands of people who were watching me. So I ended up, actually, I went to therapy, I'm not even kidding, because it just, you know, one thing is a trigger, and then you start realizing that there is like a lot of underlying stuff there. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, caring about what other people thought of me. You know what I mean? And it was really scary. Like I didn't realize how much, I guess, in the society that I come from, well, in general society for sure, and then in my community even more, we're very close-knit, small, everyone always cares and is kind of in each other's business, not always in a bad way, but you know, because we care about each other. But that meant that I was kind of my development was kind of developed through that, like that nurture, through caring about what other people thought of me. So it took a lot of unraveling and really growing into myself and cultivating that confidence to not care, you know. And I'm not gonna say that I totally don't care. I think that, you know, to be a human being and to live with other people, we have to care a little bit, but right, to an extent. So that was I would say that was a huge part of my mental health journey in regards to feeling like that confidence, because I was confident in other ways. Like I knew that I had a lot to offer and stuff, but I was just very nervous about that idea of what other people were thinking. And it still takes work sometimes, you know, we fall back to our usual pattern. So,
self-doubt. Am I doing the right thing? Am I good enough for this? Right? Like who's watching, who's judging me?
Also with people, like I have clients who are in their 50s and I believe someone in their 60s, and she's even so nervous. And if you don't work on it when you're younger, it's going to hit you when you're older.
Absolutely. And that happened to me. Like I had kind of what I call my mental breakdown in my 40s, because it was like, it kind of all caught up to me. Your trauma, it's always there for you. And even if it's minor, you know, that judging, things like that, it always catches up to you, especially when you're trying to be successful and really powering through some things. Those triggers, they're so, because you're putting yourself out there, you're making yourself uncomfortable. And so you're bound to run up to those triggers that are going to, you know, identify some things that you really need to work on from that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And also, by the way, like being open to criticism, to, you know, to feedback and understanding who to take it from, because that can also be really hard, especially when it's your baby. Business owners, like we understand, right? Our business is our baby, literally. So it's right. Like someone's coming and telling you that your baby's ugly or whatever, you know what I mean? So you have to be able to take critique, or else you can't grow as a business owner. And that was also hard for me in certain aspects. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, you're not, you know, and sometimes they don't. Some very, very often people don't, you know, especially if they're not in business, but there are people who do, and you have to kind of be able to filter out the important feedback and learn how to, you know, have thick skin and be able to work on whatever it is that needs to be worked on.
So when you run, you know, when you're in the day-to-day in the trenches of running your business, I'm sure there's a lot of times where you're just looking for guidance, right? Like, which direction should I go? What should I do? Who are some of those go-to individuals that you rely on? And are they women? Do you find that you have women mentors in the industry to support you?
You know, it's so interesting because I would say it's more peers, people who are doing similar things to me, but in other businesses. So friends who I'll talk to, but I'll also really use like my mom. She grew up surrounded by business owners. Her dad was a business owner, my grandpa, her great grandfather, her uncle. So she's very smart business wise. So I'll talk to her. She's just like my best friend, my mom. I'm the only girl, I'm the oldest, so, you know. And yeah, and then one of my brothers actually, he's very supportive and into supporting female empowerment, and he's always there for me. He's been helping me out a lot, actually. And then, yeah, the courses that I've taken, like Marie Forleo's course, I found that to be super helpful. So I don't know if she's a mentor of mine. I've never spoken to her. She doesn't know I exist, but, you know, people like that. Oh, Jasmine Starr also. I'm part of her social curator group. And also I have spoken to her a couple of times, like through DMing, but she happens to be very, very intelligent and down to earth. So I respect her a lot and respect where she came from and where she is. And I learned a lot from her.
That's great. It's always good to surround yourself with mentors. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast, is because, you know, I spent, you know, even though I do mindset work, right? I spent 30 years in corporate America leading technology projects. And there's very few mentors. And so I became a corporate mentor, and I support other men and women in that role. But I think this is podcast, just hearing from women such as yourself, is going to be so helpful, because other people can find you and listen to your story and see you as someone to aspire to and someone who can be a mentor for them. And so that's why I appreciate everyone sharing their stories and getting real raw and, you know, talking about some of the challenges. Thank so you. Let me ask you, what are some of the things you do to kind of balance your mental health? Because you're running a really large corporation. I'm sure it's a little bit of cutthroat and working 14-hour days and 15-hour days. What do you do to kind of, for self-care, like real self-care? How do you maintain that mental health, that balance?
Yes. Yeah. I definitely learned from my mom. She was my role model in regards to self-care. And every day I work out. I mean, every single day. I don't care if I only have 10 minutes. Usually it's usually between 20 to 30 minutes. But if I have 10 minutes, I'll take it, you know? So I find that it's super, super important. Gets me started. It refreshes my brain, you know, to work for the rest of the day. It makes me in a better mood. I mean, there's nothing like a good workout. I love doing yoga when I need that extra meditational aspect. But typically, I think that cardio, honestly, is really important for business owners because you have to let out that energy, you know, the nervous energy a little bit. That's just my opinion. But and then massages. You know, it's funny because my mom used to say, and I thought she was very spoiled, which, okay, I should say that, but whatever. I thought it was a little bit of a spoiled, like a snobby mental, like attitude, but she used to say that for her, massages were not a luxury. They were a necessity. And then as I got older, I realized where she was coming from. You know, she had 4 kids within 8 years and she was, you know, full-time mom plus working. And I'm like, of course it was a necessity for her. And now I see that it changes the trajectory of my week when I get a good massage. And then also just realizing when I am maxed out, because I think that sometimes it takes, and I see this with my clients, my business clients, it takes like getting sick or being in tremendous pain or whatever it is to realize that we need a break. And I like to try, I hope that that by now I've gotten to the point of where if I feel like that's coming, I just take a step back. You know, put my phone on and do not disturb, close my computer and read a book, even if I should be working, you know, because you're never really done. That's the thing. As a business owner, you're never going to be done. So
right. You
need to take the time for yourself when you need it. And oh, and also, where's the eating? We forgot to eat. No, do you ever have that? Because like, you're so busy.
Like, oh, I didn't eat today. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah. And that is so, that's so important. And eating foods that actually are good for you, because when we're so stressed and when we're working, like you said, you know, 14-hour days, we end up eating, I mean, at least I do, I tend to, my first thing that I think of is like chocolate chip cookies, you know, that's like what I crave, like that sugar, that chocolate. But I remind myself, you know, it's time to, let's first eat some chicken. And then if I still want the cookies, I'll eat them after, you know, it's just about that. But that's really basic self-care, because you're not giving your body artificial stuff that tomorrow you'll feel it. You know what I mean?
Right. Because that's the mindset thing, because you eat food and then you feel guilty about it. If you don't eat healthy, and then if you don't eat properly, then you're eating junk food all night to make up for it because you're still hungry. So it's a constant, it's a battle.
But I will say, I just want to say one thing that I'm not saying that you can't enjoy like sweets and chocolate chip cookies. I just want to clarify that. I'm totally all for that. I'm just saying to recognize when your body needs that healthy food versus just pounding junk because you're stressed out and busy and whatever, you know?
Right. People think that that's comfort food and it's going to make them feel better. It actually makes you feel worse because it's not the right food. Like you said, it has to be healthy food. So a lot of women, I imagine, come to you for makeup and consultation because they want to feel good about themselves, right? And everyone loves makeup. What would you say is a common theme for your clients for maybe where they're lacking that confidence or self-care or love for themselves? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, what is maybe a common theme where you need to help them build them up and support them in that way?
Right. Okay. So I think I understand what you're asking. I'll just say that, so I do have clients come to me for like image consulting. So I think that's what you're referring to. I mostly do business consulting, but interestingly enough, there are common themes between the two, even though one is really about external beauty and one is about growing their business. I find that women tend to, even the most beautiful women are afraid to put themselves out there. And, you know, they say that energy attracts, like you kind of attract what you like grew past. So
right. Like energy attracts like energy. Right.
Yeah. But then I was thinking that or even you attract people who you used to be like them, you know what I mean? And now you're healed and now you're helping them heal. So something that I try to help women with is to recognize whether it's their beauty or their superpowers, you know, just to recognize that. And that's a really great way to build their confidence, because when they see parts of themselves that are so beautiful, whether it's literally physical beauty or emotional stuff or, you know, talents, whatever it is, that's really the foundation. Because when you recognize your positive traits and your superpowers and your magic, and you just build off of that. I mean, that's what I see, you know, based on my experience. So not being a therapist, you know what I mean?
I love that. You know, you have to have that core confidence in yourself in order to run a business. And, you know, it's not that you can't, but it's always going to somehow come up. And so, you know, doing that work, making sure that you kind of heal along the way, and grow with the business, you know, grow personally as you're growing the business. You can be very successful doing it.
Yeah. There's, as you said, it's crazy. Only a business owner understands how much self-work and healing you have to go through to create a successful business. I mean, it's crazy. You know what I mean?
Right. Because you're constantly putting yourself out there. You're constantly making yourself uncomfortable. You're always having to learn. You're always having to grow, and not just, you know, those business skills you need to learn always come from something personal too, that you have to grow. It's almost like it's in parallel.
Yes, absolutely. I see that. I see it all the time. I see it with myself, with my clients, with my friends. And I see also people who, you know, are not willing to grow and not willing to do the work. They also stay stagnant in their business. It's really incredible. And then I see the opposite. I mean, obviously those are not my clients, because I only work with people who are growth oriented, but you know, it, like when you see your friends or acquaintances or whatever like that, and you're trying to help them, and then they don't understand like what you're referring to, about the mindset stuff and the, you know, abundance mentality and the growth mentality, but it's such a parallel track that it's essential.
So what advice would you give anyone who's trying to start their own business?
So a couple of things. First of all, like you mentioned, the mentor part. If I would have taken the courses, even though I went to business school, doesn't matter. You need to take some sort of course to be part of a mastermind or have a mentor or coach, whatever it is, who's been through what you're going through and come out on the other side, you know, that's really important, because you'll actually save a lot of money, time and energy. Even if you think that it's really expensive now, trust me, you'll save all that, you know, someone to guide you. And then the second one is just kind of about what we were talking about, just to be yourself, as cliche as it sounds. I mean, it's so important. When you're yourself, everybody loves you and you're always 10 steps ahead. When you are trying to be like someone else, whether it's someone in the industry or in a different industry or whatever, you're always going to be 10 steps behind, because you can never actually catch up to them, because they're always going to be growing and doing their thing. So when you are yourself and you recognize your superpowers, you really delve into it, you will see the growth that you're only dreaming of.
I love that. Yeah. When you, I absolutely agree, because when you're trying to follow in someone else's footsteps, then you just become just like them. And everyone has unique qualities that they can bring to their own business. And there's plenty of room for as many coaches, as many businesses that need to be out there, because there's millions of people who are always looking for your services, whatever it is. So bringing that authenticity to your business is so important.
Yeah. And also, if they could somehow, I mean, I don't know like how into this type of thing you are, but I'm very into personality systems like the Enneagram. I actually use that with my clients. And if you can somehow either hire someone who knows these things, like, it doesn't have to be me, but someone, you know, who's into that, to help guide you, because those systems can really show, could easily just uncover your superpowers, your strengths, and also your triggers. So you know what you're best at and how to proceed, and, you know, what to do in regards to building your business and marketing it, and what's in your comfort level, and how to really get that magical marketing situation going, you know?
That awareness of who you are. I do a lot of that in my coaching program, but I'm finding more and more women are understanding what their Enneagram is and what their number is. I learned my number a few years ago, and it's just been eye-opening. It's really helpful. So this is great. Where can everyone find you?
So they can go to my personal website is nechami.com, N-E-C-H-A-M-I.com. My Instagram is at NechamiT. And then my Carmala Cosmetics business is CarmalaCosmetics.com with a K. And at Carmala Cosmetics on Instagram.
Terrific. Well, yeah. Thank you. It's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Women CEO in Reflection. To reach out to one of our guests, their contact is in the description of the show. Do you want a total mindset transformation? Apply to Mindset Warrior, The Art of Intentional Thinking, my personal coaching bootcamp at iamamindsetwarrior.com and schedule your call with me today. Thank you.